and welcome to International Report. When you're 17, hanging out with your friends and escaping your parents' control is usually a major occupation. But that's not how things go for young girls in the Mexican municipality of Ecatepec, which neighbors the capital, Mexico City. Its golden age, when factories brought many workers to live there, has long gone, and Ecatepec is now crippled by poverty and violence. It lacks everything from street lamps to pavements to water in half of its districts. In the last decade, it has also been deemed the worst place to live in Mexico for a woman because of its skyrocketing gender crime rates. In a four-part series on women in Mexico, Alex Hardy has his first report from Mexico City.
Mitzi Gonzalez Solis and Belen Perez Garcia are 17. I meet them in a cafe in front of their high school in the Juan Gonzalez district of Ecatepec. It's a tiny cubicle where the walls are painted a deep shade of blue. Roses have been set on the tables in an effort to make it feel cozier. That's about as nice as it gets here in Ecatepec, where the two best friends have grown up. Ecatepec de Morelos is America Latina's most populated district, and it suffers high rates of poverty and crime, specifically against women, whose assassinations have tripled over the last 10 years. Disappearances, sexual crimes and harassment are also common, Mitzi says.
I can't go out alone to a quiet place. I always have to be with someone. I can't listen to music with my headphones when I'm walking because it means I can't hear what's going on around me and I could be in danger without realizing. Living in this neighborhood is pretty bad. Every day, a new case of disappearance or rape is reported.
Her friend Belen adds,
also, there are these research posters of missing people everywhere in the streets, and sometimes we realize that we know the missing person.
Since they were little, the girls have had to learn how to react to this hostile environment. It has included a lot of deprivations.
We always make plans to go out together. Either our mums come and get us or we walk together so we can feel a little less unsafe. When we go out, it's mostly in Mexico City because here there isn't much to do. The only safe place here is our house, but only with our family. If a stranger is there, we can't be sure we're totally safe. My mum doesn't allow us to go out wearing a skirt because as soon as I step outside, men start howling at us.
Sometimes it feels like they're undressing you, just with the way they look at you.
Manuel Amador is a teacher at the girls' school. He's been working there for years now and has been observing what his students are subjected to.
There are many factors at play here, cultural, political, social, but I think it all has to do with the state of abandon in which this district has been left. There is an omission here. Society conveys the idea that women with certain attributes, a certain skin color, low income, that these women don't matter. They can be converted into garbage, taken, turned into merchandise and sold or made disappear. It all has to do with the reality that is ours here, permissibility, illegality, impunity. Under these circumstances, the mechanism has become a monster.
In 2011, he started to look for a way to talk with his students about what was going on in their daily lives.
We had this idea of speaking about it using our bodies, a body that is free, that has dignity. The important thing was to extract this violence, to name it, to materialize the damage that its accumulation causes to human bodies.
Under the teacher's guidance, the girls started doing what they call performances, live public shows where they recreate what they endure every day. But this time, they set the rules. Amador shows me a video of the latest event.
Aquí hay sufrimiento!
No!
In this video, we can see what the student perspective is. They dressed up as oblivion, as violence, frustration, hate, despair, and how all of it interacts together. It's about abuse, punching. That's something they're telling themselves. I'm not inventing anything. This is their reality. We are telling it using art. It's a way of denouncing it. But there's always an issue to these performances. There's always hope in the end. It's reconstruction, a healing pedagogy.
The one Mitzi and Belen liked best was called Trying Freedom. When it starts, The girls are hidden in black trash bags, not unlike the ones that are used to dispose of women's bodies and thrown in the dumps of Ecatepec.
Little by little, we unpack ourselves out of the trash bag to show we want to be free and not only represent garbage in the eyes of society.
The workshop was a revelation for the 17-year-olds.
It changed a lot of things for me, because at first I was one of those people who thought that if something happened to a woman, it had to be because of her fault, her behavior. Now I realize it's just wrong and women are supposed to be free.
The teacher adds meditatively.
Someone once told me, your pupils go to your workshop because they don't want to end up being murder victims. It's true. I was surprised, but I realized he was right. Yes, he was right.
The workshop has become so successful, it is now taught in other schools and universities around Mexico City. But as I prepare to leave and thoughtlessly ask if we're going in the same direction, both girls shake their head negatively, until Belén's mother comes and picks them up. They better not move from the cafe by themselves. For Radio France International, I'm Alex Hardy, reporting from Mexico City.